There's a worldview war going on right now. One radio program gives you full frontline coverage. It's Generations, and here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
This is Generations, my friends. Kevin Swanson with you, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. But the reason I'm here, and Dave's here too, we're fathers of five children each, and looking at the world through the eyes of a biblical worldview and trying to say, okay, in a world where 37% of children are born without fathers, up from 6% in 1960, where 95% of those getting married admit to premarital sex, and when the world is basically unraveled, at that point, what do fathers do when they've woken up and said, we don't want this kind of world for our children, we don't want our children to be part of these statistics? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we suggest on this program what many have said before: ideas have consequences. That is, these sorts of things don't happen in a vacuum. There are reasons why 37% of children are born without fathers. There's a reason why half of marriages end in divorce. There's a reason why the family is unraveling, and we have what we have in this generation. And that's because of the ideas that have been taught. And you know where they've been taught? They've been taught primarily through the public schools and the universities in this country. So the ideas have been taught for the last 2 to 3 generations in public schools, K-12 schools, and in the universities have really impacted the way that people live. This is natural. This is what happens. So if we want to change the consequences, if a couple of dads woke up and said, you know, I'd rather not live with these consequences, then we need to change the ideas. Does that make sense? We need to change the ideas. Well, let's take a look at what's going on in the news. From the front page of FoxNews.com, and this actually, just before we went on the air, Dave, I found this. A teacher is arrested after offering good grades for a student if she commits fornication with him. 29-year-old Isaac Nathan Tillis, a teacher, was arrested after repeatedly telling students that she could earn an A if she fornicated with him. He lured the girl into a teacher's lounge bathroom on Wednesday. But once inside, the police and the girl sprung the trap. So, Dave, this sort of thing wasn't happening back in the 1880s when Laura Ingalls Wilder was teaching her students out in those one-room schoolhouses on the plains of South Dakota. But it's happening today. It wasn't happening in the 1960s, but it's happening today. Ladies and gentlemen, these stories are a dime a dozen. You know, they're all over the place. Dave, this is Fox News. Of course, WorldNet Daily covers just about every one of these stories. But these public schools really are living out the ideas that they've been taught. These university teachers are doing exactly what they were taught in the 1950s and 60s and 70s, not just by the public schools, but by the Beatles and others, other music groups and cultural groups that basically laid out the ideas that these guys would live out. And that's exactly what's happening. Folks, if you want to change the consequences, you've got to change the ideas. And, Dave, this is one reason why we have taken our children out of those public schools. We are not going to send our children to public schools. We're going to educate them at home in the fear of God with faith and character. That's going to be our focus. We're going to disciple our children in the Word of God. We're not going to give them a godless education, which is what is taught in the K-12 and the university schools across this country for the most part, probably, you know, 98% of the cases.
I'm not sending my children to the public schools either, and that's just one of the many reasons. I think some of the more important reasons are the public schools have an official religion of humanism. An atheistic or a polytheistic sort of humanism. Certainly, the worship of Christ is not allowed there. And I think that all of life involves the worship of Christ, including the education I give my children. I want them to know that the world is round because God made it that way, and to give them glory for that, not merely to acknowledge the fact.
Well, and homeschooling is growing across the country. 2 million homeschooled students now across the United States. And this is a growing movement. Lots of parents obviously concerned about what's going on in the public schools, not just in terms of the academics, but socially and culturally. Terrible things are happening to children everywhere. For that reason, a lot of concerned parents are saying, that's enough. We're taking our kids out of these schools, and we're going to homeschool them ourselves. Folks, a huge movement happening right now in America, and for that reason, I feel pretty good. I'm feeling pretty optimistic. I think God's doing something with this country. But this also in the news, a homeschooling mom out in South Carolina, Dave, is going to improve those public schools. She's going to fix those public schools. This homeschooling mom got herself elected in the position of South Carolina's State Board of Education's chairwoman in 2009. Kristen McGuire of Clemson would be the nation's only homeschooling educator to lead a state school board if she took office this year, according to the National Association of State Boards of Education. This according to an AP story that I'm reading right now. McGuire lobbied intensively for legislation that created a statewide charter school system and has voiced support for Sanford allies who want the legislature to okay financial incentives for parents to send their children to private schools and educate them at home. The state board oversees 1,100 public schools and its 680,000 students by shaping policies that affect instruction, testing, blah, 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 blah. McGuire says political or philosophical differences she might have with others won't distract her from being an advocate for improving education for all children. She said she's heartened by state school superintendent Jim Rex's plan to win support for making public school choice a legislative priority, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. McGuire, who teaches her four daughters at home, was nominated from the floor during the state board's monthly meeting and won on a voice vote. The panel historically votes each December to pick a chair-elect a year in advance of when the term is scheduled to begin. McGuire said she attended public schools and is the daughter of a public school teacher. She said she sought the position at the helm of the 17-member board to make sure public schools are the best they can possibly be. So here we have it, Dave. Super homeschool mom flies in to save the public school system. And my question here today, folks, is did we really want to save it? We're going to ask that question next on Generations. Do we really want to save the public schools? That's next. Stay with me. Back on Generations, my friends, and talking about the South Carolina case today, where this super homeschool mom has flied in to save the public school system of South Carolina. And Dave, again, as we try to identify the ways in which somebody could improve the public school system, I am scratching my head wondering how to do this. Now, I suppose one of the first things you could do would be to begin to teach an education that's rooted in the fear of God. So maybe get rid of all the secular textbooks, bring in the Bible, and start teaching the Bible for, an hour or two every day in those classrooms, and don't teach it as Bible is lit, but teach it in the fear of God. You know, everything's supposed to be taught in the fear of God. That's a biblical concept of education. So if we're going to improve education, if we're going to bring a Christian view of things into all of life, then I'd say the very first thing they ought to do is begin to teach an education rooted in the fear of God in those classrooms.
But, Kevin, if they start teaching in the fear of God, they're going to start applying the law of God because they're going to fear the God of the law. And then they're going to realize that they shouldn't be taking away people's inheritance that they're leaving for their children's children, and they have no business taxing property, which they're using to fund their public schools. So if Kristen McGuire really wants to improve the public schools, the first thing she could do is put them on a more solid moral foundation and do that by forbidding the use of tax monies to pay for these schools.
Very good idea, Dave. I like that. Talking about how to improve public schools today, folks. And the first thing we do is teach an education in the fear of God. Second thing is we stop taxing people for these crazy schools. I mean, where did this come from? Obviously, socialism. That's the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto, which, by the way, I'm not a communist here. I don't know if that's ever slipped out at all, but I'm not a communist, and I don't believe that the public schools ought to be redistributing public wealth and the wealth of the people in order to provide for public education. That, of course, is not a biblical concept whatsoever, but it is a Marxist concept. So, again, I think some of the things Kristen McGuire can do would be to cut up all funding to public schools from the government war chests and have people pay for that schools themselves. I mean, generally in Colorado, I think it's between $7,000 and $10,000 a year it costs to educate a child in the public schools. So I'd say the very first thing that Kristen McGuire should do is send an invoice or a bill to each parent in the state of South Carolina requiring them to write a check for $7,000 or $10,000 for each of their children attending public schools. That would be the first thing she should do.
Well, that would accomplish two things. First off, it would let property owners actually own their property, and they're not renting it from the government, because if you don't pay your property tax, of course, they take your land away, no matter how much you've paid into it. The second thing that it would do is it would make the public schools actually have to compete with other schools, dollar for dollar. My guess is that as soon as they had to compete, they would jettison that NEA right away, and it actually gets some real teachers in there because parents are not going to pay $10,000 for babysitting.
Dave, you know, I think what could happen, though, is that she could sell these buildings to private concerns. That would be something else she could do to improve public education in the state of South Carolina. Just maybe put the buildings on eBay. I mean, can you do that kind of thing? I don't know. A public school for sale on eBay and have people bid for it. There are, sure, uses for these buildings. So yet another way to improve public education in South Carolina would be to sell off the buildings.
Well, I'm certain that there's investors who want to buy it because To build a building that size would take a huge investment.
Yeah.
Somebody's already done it.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Sell it off and maybe give the proceeds to the poor taxpayers from whom you have stolen the money for the previous 10, 15, 20, 25 years. So I think there are some things that she can do to improve public education there in South Carolina. But then again, what would you do with the buildings? And, I'm thinking maybe an indoor paintball kind of thing, you know? Maybe there's a paintball business out there that would be able to use a building like that. Or maybe this is something that Chad mentioned off air. Maybe a really big homeschool family would buy it. You know, it would be big bedrooms. The classrooms would be larger than your average bedroom. But you get a rather large homeschool family with, I don't know, 25, 30 kids. Give them each their own bedroom. And you'd make good use of the facility. I don't know, maybe a homeschool family could buy a building.
That might work in some of the smaller, more rural schools that aren't overly large. I'm
sure.
Not sure it would work in some of these suburban high schools, though. That would be a little too large.
Sure. What about like a petting zoo, something like that, you know, a large petting zoo?
Well, why not? Right now, what you have are animals in there.
Sort of
or people
like
who act like animals. You're just you're just changing the species.
Yeah, and they've got those bars over the windows and that kind of thing. Kind of look in and see the animals in there. Or a prison, perhaps. I mean, you know, I don't know. Maybe the prison system could use some of these buildings.
That's not a lot different than it is now.
Well, yeah.
It is a juvenile prison.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe law offices. That was another thing that came to mind. There's a lot of lawyers out there. Or I suppose you could grind up the concrete and use it for road base.
Well, that's true, because one of the things that my county isn't doing is enough road base.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing in this county, Dave. We have all these dirt roads and accidents happening all the time, but I'll tell you what, the public schools get about $10,000 per student here in this county. But hey, at least they're getting, you know, educated in how to put on a condom and all the rest. Well, folks, again, trying to identify ways in which we could improve the public schools. And Dave, I mean, just seriously, it's you wonder if you could really make a positive impact in with a system that will not teach that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Ultimately, public schools teaches that God is irrelevant to life, that God is irrelevant to the way that we think, the way that we live. And so every day, over 12 years, in the content and the context of public schooling, they're saying there is no God, or if there really is a God, he doesn't really matter to life. And so children figure out that, you know, faith is private, subjective, and compartmentalized, which is exactly what God does not want our children to see. He says, I want you to teach my word to your children as they sit in their house, as they walk by the way, as they rise up, as they lie down. I want it to be as a frontlet between their eyes. And Dave, what is a frontlet between their eyes? But something, a verse, a memory verse that hangs in front of them all day long, constantly reminding them that God is important in their life. And God is the source of truth. And God is the one that they need to love with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's Deuteronomy chapter 6. That's the Shema. But what happens in public education is children are given this impression that their faith needs to be compartmentalized. It's okay to get your little Jesus on Sunday, but you come into your public school classrooms and the Bible is against the law. Praying is against the law. You can't teach the Word of God as the source of truth in those public school classrooms. If you do, you get in trouble.
And the very essence of understanding our place in this world, who we are, how we relate to other things, other creatures, this planet, what is our purpose? All these things are religious. You cannot teach biology without having some religious presuppositions. You cannot teach anthropology without having religious presuppositions. You can't teach history without religious presuppositions. The question is, what are those presuppositions going to be?
Yeah, Dave, you know their presuppositions. Truth is relative, right? Situational, individualized, etc. And the greatest virtue is what? Tolerance, right? They teach a worldview. Folks, they're teaching a worldview. The greatest virtue is tolerance and diversity. And the worst thing is to think that you are right about anything. The worst thing is for somebody to stand up in a public school classroom and say, this homosexuality or this incest or this bestiality is absolutely wrong. See, that's the worst form of heresy in an age of tolerance. For somebody to stand up and say, this homosexuality or this adultery or this incest is absolutely positively wrong because there is a God who established an eternal absolute law and he says it's wrong. Dave, of course, that can't happen in the polytheistic, pluralistic, tolerant schools.
But there are certain things that they will teach you in public schools that are absolutely wrong, like not recycling. See, that is wrong.
I admit there's a little inconsistency from time to time. And here's another thing that's absolutely wrong. The guy who stood up and said that was absolutely wrong. He is absolutely wrong because he stood up and said that's absolutely wrong. So anybody who stands on the biblical conviction that there is one God and there should be no other gods before him, and he has a law and people really ought to live by that law because that's the absolute law of God, is perceived as absolutely wrong. That guy is the one who's absolutely wrong. Well, here's the other thing. Public education teaches children to be little socialists, programs them to support the big government socialist programs for everything, and that's why you guarantee the next generation will be big government socialist supporters. This is why, Dave, I don't want to save the public schools. Is that okay? I mean, I don't think we want to save the public schools and make them even better socialist schools to teach a better form of socialism so that we can guarantee socialism for the next generation, the next, and the next, and the next. That's just not my worldview.
And public schools teach socialism very effectively. They teach it both by their curriculum and by the fact that they exist. The schools themselves have taken monies from one group of people and distributed them to another group of people in order to create citizens. It is a little experiment of socialism itself. So the children are already socialists by the day they walk in the school. They might not have that philosophy, but they're practical socialists because they are public schooled.
Dave, it doesn't matter what the situation, it's not right for me to take a gun to my neighbor's house and force him to give me money for my kid's education. I mean, come on, folks. Can anybody out there give me a situation where it's appropriate for me to go and force a neighbor at the force of a gun to give me money for my kid's education, K-12, university, or otherwise? Okay, people come back and says it's all right to go down to the government and have the government take that money from your neighbor at the force of a gun for you. So what's the difference between me doing it or having a government official go and at the force of the gun force a neighbor to redistribute his wealth to me so that my kid gets educated? I personally don't see any difference between those two scenarios, Dave.
Well, one would say it's anarchy and the other is tyranny. Morally, they're accomplishing the same thing.
All right, the question here today, folks, is it appropriate for Kristen McGuire to try to save the public schools? Is that the best strategy? Is that the best way Kristen needs to be spending her time in South Carolina? I'd suggest maybe a few other things she might try before she steps out there and tries to save the public schools in the state of South Carolina. Maybe she should support programs like this. They're trying to get parents to take responsibility for their own children's education, for the funding and control of their own children's education. Maybe she ought to start applying a biblical way of thinking about these. Maybe she could start some homeschool introductory workshops, Dave, out in South Carolina and go door to door and suggest to parents that they come to a homeschool introductory workshops and learn about what it is to give an education based on the fear of God to their own children and take control of their own children's education. I mean, I suppose she could do these sorts of things, but you know, the argument's going to come back right away. You know, everybody can't do this. Everybody can't homeschool their children. There are parents out there unqualified to raise their own children, feed their own children, and educate their own children, Dave. I mean, you know, that argument's going to come back like that. You know, I mean, so here, what do you do, Dave, if you've got unqualified parents? What do you do? Do you confiscate those kids and stuff them into state orphanages so the state can raise them? I mean, what do you do with parents who are unqualified? What do you do with parents who aren't willing to raise their own children and take control and funding of their own children's education? What do you do with parents like this?
Well, first off, who says whether or not they're qualified or not? What is the standard? Where are we going to find a law or a standard to impose upon parents? I suggest even asking the question is already assuming that government has jurisdiction that it doesn't have. Now, those who are unwilling to raise their children, well, they've got a problem, don't they? Because they have children, and they need to do something about those children. Well, they have the option of private school, or they have the option of children who will leech on them for the rest of their life.
Yeah, and of course they're assuming that the state's the only possible savior here, and that, of course, is a socialist assumption. That's ingrained in every person's mind because they've been going to public schools, and they've been taught all their lives that the state is the only solution to our problems. They've been taught that in state-funded socialist schools. So it's hard to switch people's mentality on this, Dave. It's hard to change their mentality on the idea that government is the only possible savior for all of mankind's ills. That somehow, if there are parents out there unqualified and unwilling to raise their own children, that the state has to be the one that flies in and becomes the super savior for these particular families that are in serious trouble. I would suggest that maybe there are other people in these people's lives that can help them with these sorts of things. Maybe they have friends. Maybe there are churches in the area. Maybe there are people who can come alongside them and equip them, encourage them, strengthen them to the task of being good parents and raising their own children. And Dave, when it really comes down to what happens to generation after generation after generation of children whose parents are unwilling to take the time to really nurture those children and raise them with strong faith and character. What happens in the end, Dave? Even with the state-funded education system, we are going to see a breakdown of a national character. We're going to see that the state is unable to educate these children and give them a paideia that's good enough to establish a strong nation. Not going to happen. Rather, we're seeing the character of this nation come crumbling down, and it's going to come down economically, militarily, and every other way in the next couple of decades or so. And that's because we trust government to fix all these problems for us.
And Kevin, you should never underestimate the power that children have over their own education. Regardless of who that teacher is, children have a natural curiosity, a natural desire. They know if their parents are ignoring them. They'll learn from the neighbors. They'll learn from somebody. This is not the end all. It's not if you don't have somebody in front of the room with the apple on the desk and with the blackboard behind him that kids are going to grow up illiterate. It's not that way.
And, Dave, the vast majority of parents are very, very, very qualified. They've just been told they're not qualified. All their lives they've been told, you're not qualified, you're not qualified. Every dollar of the $10 trillion used to educate children in this country tells a parent you are not qualified to control and fund your children's education. I'm here to tell you, God in heaven has equipped you to do this. He made you such that you can educate your children. And I think what we have is a wrong view of qualifications, a wrong view of God and a wrong view of His Word. Folks, just about anybody who can read can teach somebody else to read. And that's how we had a 95 to 99% literacy rate at the beginning of this country before the public schools came in and screwed it all up for us. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Generations. I hope that we have shifted your worldview somewhat as you listen to our program. We hope that you begin to found the way that you think not on guys like Karl Marx, but on the Scriptures, the Word of God, the Bible, which communicates the way to live, the way to raise our children. And it's communicated from the God who knows a lot about raising children because He made them. You can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And let me encourage you to get a copy of my book, Upgrade the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. You can get the book by calling 877-842-2432 or go to my website, kevinswanson.com, and just click on Upgrade. Get an upgrade today and get a vision for educating your children, taking responsibility for the raising, for the education of your children. God puts the responsibility right at your feet, and parents, you need to find out how to educate your children by getting my book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. Again, you can get it at 877-842-2432. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down some vision for the next generation.